The gospel today starts with a demon-possessed man being brought to Christ, and he was blind and mute. And as the story goes, Christ cast out the demon and healed the man. And when he was healed, then he could speak and he could see. And the multitude responded to this miracle by asking the question, could this be the Son of David? They were asking, could this be the Messiah? This response of the people really disturbed the Pharisees who had rejected Christ. And so they claimed that he did this good work by the power of the devil, not by a good power. And Jesus then proceeded to correct them. He proved that they were in error, that their reasoning was in error, by saying, a house divided itself cannot stand. He proved that they were in error by saying, your sons cast out demons, so whose spirit is doing that? He taught them about his ministry, that he was here to bind the strong man, which was the devil, in order to plunder his goods, which is us. Christ came to plunder the devil and retrieve us. And he then warns them and alarms them about the unpardonable sin, which is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And then at the end of this passage, he speaks about how a tree is known by its fruit. And this is what I thought we could concentrate on today, how a tree is known by its fruit. He said, good trees bring forth good fruit, bad trees bring forth bad fruit. And out of the abundance of man's heart is what he speaks, is what his mouth speaks. So if the treasure in the heart is good, then out of that abundance the mouth will speak good things. And if the treasure inside a man's heart is bad, then out of the abundance of that treasure, he will bring forth bad things. So, the first thing to say is that when Christ speaks about a tree is known by its fruit, in the first instance, actually, he's referring to himself, and then he is referring to us. So, firstly, with regard to himself, he says this statement actually, firstly, talking about himself. You see, he's attacking the logic of the Pharisees and showing their error. The Pharisees are saying, yes, he's doing a good work, he has done something good, but he is bad. They say, yes, he has healed this man, yes, he has cast out demons, yes, he has removed affliction, yes, he has done these good things, but he's doing it by a bad spirit. He's doing it by the power of the devil. So Jesus is actually just in the first instance challenging them and challenging their logic. And he said, nature shows us that a tree is known by its fruit. If you see good fruit, it means it is a good tree. If you see bad fruit or no fruit, it is a bad tree. He says, nature is teaching you that. So he's challenging them, saying, look at my deeds. Either accept that they are good, and if my deeds are good, then I'm good, or prove and show me that my deeds are evil. In another part of the gospel, he says, I don't even want you to believe my words. Just at least believe the things that I do. Believe these deeds that I do. They will testify of me. So, the first reason he talks about a tree is known by its fruit is to counter their illogical argument. When they say that he does good things, but he is bad, and then he is saying that's impossible. That's impossible. But secondly, Christ speaks about a tree being known by its fruit. He talks about it referring to us. He's referring to us. The way for us to assess whether we are good or bad is based on our fruit. We look at our fruit, and that will be the evidence. That will tell us, are we good? Do we have good treasure in our heart, or are we bad? Do we have bad treasure in our heart? And this concept of the need to bear fruit is so prominent in the gospel. I say this all the time, but the fathers very frequently comment how everything in creation, in the physical world, has been created for us to be able to understand something in the spiritual world. Everything that the Lord has done in creation, He's done in such a way that will help us understand the spiritual. So when God says, you have to bear good fruit like a good tree, you can imagine back at the time of creation, God is thinking, when I want to teach them about how they will be spiritual, how they need to be spiritual, how their spiritual lives need to deliver and good things grow out of it, how will I explain that to them? And I imagine the Father said, well, let me create trees, and the trees will bear fruit, and let them see that, and let them eat of the fruit and enjoy it. And when they do that, then I'll be able to say to them, you need to be like a tree which bears good fruit. And so almost everything in creation you can draw back to a spiritual lesson, and by design, not by an afterthought. And this concept of needing to bear fruit comes up time and time again in the gospel. John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree which does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Christ says in the gospel we read in the third hour in the Agbaya, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me which does not bear fruit, He takes away. There's the parable of the barren fig tree, where a vineyard owner has on his vineyard a fig tree, and he comes to the fig tree and finds no fruit, and he says, for 3 years I've been coming to this fig tree looking for fruit, and he says to his servant, cut it down. Cut it down. And the servant says, oh master, just give it one more year. Let me dig around it, let me fertilize it, and then we'll see. If it doesn't bear fruit after that, cut it down. And then, of course, there's the example, the physical example in Passion Week, when Christ saw leaves on a fig tree and went up to it to get fruit, and he found none and he cursed it. So this concept of the need to bear fruit is really prominent and so important in the gospel. And all of these passages refer to the same thing. God is looking for our fruit, and He requires us to have fruit because that's the evidence. He doesn't need fruit from us, but the fruit is the evidence of are we good or are we bad. He tells us this for our sake. If we are good, we will bear good fruit, and that will be the evidence. And at this time, we are in the fast of the apostles, and we concentrate on the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we know the fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians. We know the nine fruit, not fruits, but the nine fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we're striving to live with Christ, we will have this fruit. If we are submitting ourselves to Him and being transformed by Him, we will have that fruit. And that's the fruit that Christ is looking for. And this brings us on to the last section of what Christ spoke about today, which is that our words will be the evidence. The words are not actually the ultimate aim. Saying the right words is actually not the ultimate aim. He's not saying to you, if you say the right things, then you'll be accepted. But our words will be the evidence. If our hearts are good and full of the spiritual treasure and filled with the fruit of the Spirit, our words will show it. Our words will reveal love, joy, and peace. Our words will show our patience or our long-suffering, our kindness and our gentleness. It's just like where you live and grow up determines your language. Your language will show your earthly residence, at least where you grew up. And so our language will show our spiritual residence, where we reside spiritually. But I think one of the most important points is that we can sometimes read a passage like this and think to ourselves, I need to start saying good things. I need to start saying words of love. I need to start saying words of peace. When I go to work, I need to be more joyful. I need to say nicer things. I need to be more peaceable with the people around me and say nicer things to them. But if anyone's ever tried that, you will find that doesn't work. It never works. You can say to yourself, I'm not going to say this thing again, but you'll find yourself saying it again and doing it again. You might say to yourself, I won't gossip, and then you find yourself doing it. You might say to yourself, I won't say bad things about people, and then you find yourself doing it. Saying to yourself, I'm going to say this or not say this, will never ever work. And why? Well, Christ says today, your words are nothing other than a reflection of your heart. It's just a reflection. Your words are just going to be like a mirror showing you what is happening inside. So you can't just say, I will change what comes out. You might be able to do it for 10 minutes. You might be able to do it even for a week. But ultimately, your words will be a reflection of your heart. If your heart is filled with the treasures of the world, then what comes out will be evil treasure. If your heart is filled, if you think about how you spend the week, what you fill up your heart with during the week, that will determine what comes out. You can imagine, I'm sure you've all had this experience, if you're spending a lot of time doing something. For example, you're looking to buy a new car and you picked one and you're reading everything about it and you've gone and driven it and you've talked to all these people and you've read everything there is to read, and if that is what you are doing day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, what do you think will be the topic of conversation when you sit with people? What will come out of your heart naturally? If someone mentions a car, what will prick up your ears more than that to talk to them and be excited to talk about something? If that's what you have filled your heart with, that is what will come out. If we fill our heart with the news or with money management or with the stock market, or you fill your heart with the acquiring of possessions or your career, or you fill your heart with social media, you fill your heart with your friends and what's happening with your friends and their lives, what will come out of your mouth? It will just be a reflection of what you filled it with. You can't say to your mouth, say good words from now. It will never work. The only thing that will work is to fill our heart with spiritual treasures daily, every day, every night, every morning, every lunchtime. You can't say to yourself, I will say good things, but you can say to yourself, I will spend my time filling my heart with good treasures. And then over time you will find what comes out is good. If you fill your heart with hymns rather than worldly music, or sermons, if you fill your heart with reading the Bible or spiritual books, if you fill your heart with Bible studies or attending meetings, if you fill your heart with the Eucharist, if you fill your heart with time for prayer, how can you say good things if you haven't filled your heart with prayer? It's impossible. It's a facade. It's something which... I'll give you an example. Anyone who is in a position of management knows how hard it is to recruit good people. And the most difficult thing is you get a 15-minute interview to try and differentiate between candidates. 15 minutes. 15 minutes of sitting with someone trying to determine whether they are actually going to be a good person in the job for years. 15 minutes with some questions. You can fool someone for 15 minutes. You can. You can definitely, and it's happened many times, people can say or do whatever they need to do for 15 minutes, they can do it. But the difficulty is, once you get them in the job, after 1 month or after 3 months, definitely you'll know everything about them. And the same goes for us. You can try to say good things, but ultimately over time, who you are will come through. So Christ concludes this passage with one of the most frightful statements. And I think if anyone really listened today, you can't but help to be frightened when he says, on the day of judgment, you will need to give an account of everything you've said. And that's frightful. On the day of judgment, every word we've said, we will need to give an account. And that actually, you might find, leaves you feeling helpless. You might think, how on earth can I regulate every word that comes out of my mouth? Even if I disregard the past, even if I say, well, forget the past, from now on, how can I regulate every word that comes out of my mouth? You'll feel helpless. You'll say, I can't do that. That's impossible. But just to summarise again the point for today, that's not our aim. Your aim is not to regulate what comes out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth is a reflection. You can't regulate that. What we need to do is focus on what we fill up our hearts with. If we fill it up with worldly treasures, out of it will come evil. If we fill it with spiritual treasures, out of it will come spiritually good words. And that's what I believe we're called on, to spend our time, to spend our days, to spend our evenings trying, by God's grace, to fill our hearts with spiritual treasures. And glory be to God forever. Amen.